We're glad to bring you this message from Love Worth Finding Ministries with Adrian Rogers. We trust you'll be blessed as you apply these biblical truths to your daily life.
You know, the Christian life is a life of abounding joy. Somebody said a long time ago that joy is the flag that is flown from the castle of the heart when the king is in residence. And we're to rejoice in the Lord always. Sometimes when we come to church, I don't think there's enough joy. Sometimes we come to the services like we've come to mourn a corpse rather than to hail a victor whose name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin may have its thrills, but sin does not have its joy. Joy is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say at the outset of this message that I believe in a life of joy. However, the Christian life also is to be a life of tears. It's to be a life of a broken heart. Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a time to laugh and there's a time to weep. I believe that we in America need to be weeping in keeping with the urgency and emergency of this day and this hour. I want you to look at a passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 37. It's an episode in the life of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is facing his last week on this earth before he's crucified. And when he was come nigh, verse 37, when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." And he answered and said unto them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, "If thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things that belong unto thy peace, but now they're hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, "It is written, my house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do, for the people were all very attentive to hear him. Jesus, a man of abounding joy, and yet he was a man also of tears. You find Jesus in the Bible weeping. He wept at the grave of Lazarus. Those were tears of sympathy. He wept in the Garden of Gethsemane. Those were tears of agony. And he wept on the Mount of Olives. Those were tears of urgency. And I'm telling you that we as his followers need to be sharing tears of sympathy and we need to be sharing tears of agony and we need to be sharing and shedding tears of urgency because of the day in which we are living. Now, let me give you the background of this passage of Scripture. Jesus is coming for that last week into Jerusalem. If you've been to Israel, you know that just east of the city of Jerusalem is the Mount of Olives. And Jesus is coming over the brow of the Mount of Olives, and he's taking a path that we call the Palm Sunday Road, and he's going down the Mount of Olives. about halfway down the Mount of Olives, while the people are shouting and praising and saying, glory to God, hallelujah, amen, Jesus stops at a place. He began to sob. And the word in the Greek language means actually that he wept openly, convulsively, heaving in sorrow, great salty tears rolling down the cheeks of the very Son of God, weeping over Jerusalem. Why did Jesus weep? May I suggest to you three things that caused him to weep? And what caused Jesus to weep ought to cause Adrian to weep and to cause you to weep. Again, I believe in joy, but I believe we need to take time out for tears. First of all, Jesus wept because of their superficial religion. Superficial religion. Notice, if you will, in this passage of Scripture here in Luke chapter 19. Look, if you will, in verse 37. When he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they'd seen. Had you been there, you would have said, hey, it is revival time in Jerusalem. These people are praising God. They are leaping and they are dancing, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Why, they're having a wonderful time praising the Lord. But we're going to see it was all superficial. They were very religious people. They were saying, as Jesus was riding there upon that donkey, hail him, hail him. And in a few days, the same crowd would be saying, nail him, crucify him. Jesus, as he stopped there, looked down upon that temple. Josephus, a historian, said that that temple, that magnificent temple, stood there on the Temple Mount like a mountain of snow, as the sun would come over the brow of the Mount of Olives and shine down there upon that temple, sitting there upon what is Mount Moriah. It was a breathtaking sight. It was indeed the house of God, but it had become a den of thieves. No wonder Jesus wept. Look in verse 45, and he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer. But ye made it a den of thieves. Superficial religion. That week, when Jesus Christ was going into Jerusalem, was the Passover week. It was a week when they would kill the Passover lamb. The sad thing, the tragic thing is that Jesus Christ himself was that Passover lamb, and they did not know it. They did not recognize him. To them, it was a religious ceremony, and they went through the ceremony, but they absolutely missed the meaning and hung him on a cross. Jesus weeps over people who have superficial religion. He warned about this. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22, he talked about the final judgment of those who have a superficiality in the things of God. And Jesus said these words, startling words, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, depart from me. Now listen to this. Ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Do you know what he called their false praying when they said, Lord, Lord? Do you know what he called their false preaching when they prophesied in his name? Do you know what he called their false power when they said they cast out demons? Do you know what he called their false performance when he said, we've done many wonderful works? He called it iniquitous. Not merely useless, but iniquitous. Do you know what Jesus would weep over in America today? Superficial religion. Superficial religion. Most people in America do not need religion. They need to turn from religion to Jesus Christ. It's time for tears. Jesus wept over their superficial religion. I'll tell you what else Jesus wept over. Not only did Jesus weep over their superficial religion, but Jesus wept because of their passing opportunity. Look now in verses 42 and following. Jesus wept over the city, verse 41, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they're hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemy shall cast up a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because, underscore it now, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. He said, if you only knew. If you only knew the opportunity that you have right now. This was a great day of opportunity. But they were blind to it. They were deaf to it. They did not know. They should have known. God gave a magnificent prophecy in Daniel 9. It's one of the great prophecies of the Bible. And I believe it ties in with what Jesus is saying, this thy day. In Daniel chapter 9, and it's a very convoluted prophecy, but a wonderful one to study, God says that there's going to be 483 years for Messiah to come after a point in the calendar. That point in the calendar was when a command was given to rebuild and restore Jerusalem. That command was given by Artaxerxes the king on March the 14th, 445 B.C. Now, from the time that Artaxerxes the king gave that command until the day that Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem riding upon that donkey, if you add up those days, there would be 173,880 days, and Jesus on the day was riding into Jerusalem, April the 6th, 32 A.D., in an exact, precise fulfillment of prophecy. And so Jesus could say to them, if you knew the things that belong to your peace on this thy day. It was their day, and they missed it. It was harvest time. The Son of God was there, and they were blind to blessing and deaf to danger. You see, God has harvest times, but harvest times pass. Harvest times don't last forever. Jeremiah, in another day, the weeping prophet who wept like Jesus wept. Jeremiah had warned his people about God's judgment that was coming. But the good times were rolling. Had they had a Dow Jones, it would have been up in the high numbers. And nobody listened to Jeremiah, that weeping prophet. That howling prophet, they laughed him to scorn. But the day came when the Babylonian army surrounded Jerusalem and cut off the people from the fields of ripening food and laid siege to the city of Jerusalem in Jeremiah's day. Starvation so stalked the city that the records tell us that mothers killed and cooked and ate their own children. When Jeremiah saw the harvest in the fields rotting and people on the inside of the city starving, he said in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20, "The harvest is past, the summer's ended, and we're not saved. It's too late now." There was a time, there was an opportunity, there was a harvest. Days of harvest don't last forever. The Bible teaches when a harvest is neglected, it passes away and then judgment comes. Think about it. In Noah's time, there was a day of harvest. There was a harvest time. Noah, God's preacher, preached for 120 years when the ark was preparing, with the ring of hammers in the background and the wrath of God in the foreground. And he preached, and the doors of mercy were wide open, but people did not come. And finally, the dam of God's mercy gave way to the raging waters of God's wrath. The harvest time was past. There's a time when harvest passes. This generation, we have more opportunity than any generation ever had. More ability to preach. More tools. But we have a generation that is letting this harvest pass. I marvel at the patience that God has had with God blessed America. I marvel. I marvel that the wrath of God has not yet descended upon America. And I wonder when it is going to happen and how quickly it will happen. See, harvest passes. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1 says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." We need to get teenagers saved. We need to get boys and girls saved. The time to get that child saved is when that child is a child. Opportunity passes. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." I'll tell you something else. Holy Spirit conviction passes. Don't get the idea that a man, a woman, a boy, a girl can just saunter into the presence of God. The Bible, Jesus said, "No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." And the Bible also says, God speaking, "My spirit will not always strive with a man." Isaiah 55 and verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." The Holy Spirit can be so neglected and so insulted that he ceases to strive. God's Holy Spirit is moving on your heart. My advice to you is to give your heart to Jesus Christ immediately. Immediately. Youth passes. Holy Spirit conviction passes. Life passes, and it passes quickly. If you're going to be saved, the only time you're going to be saved is in this life. Oswald J. Smith reports the following. Satan and his demons were having a convocation, seeing what they were going to do to damn the world. And one of the demons said, "Let's say there's no God." Another demon said, "No, that's too obvious. There is a God, and he's a just and a holy God." "Well, then," said another demon, "let's tell them that he is a just and a holy God, and he'll not receive them." But another said, "No, he's also a God of mercy." "Well," then another demon said, "let's tell them there is a God. He's just and holy and full of mercy. But let's just tell them there is plenty of time." And someone has well said, it's a cliche, but it is still true, that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. There was a prayer meeting in Western Washington where they're logging. A man was confronted with the gospel, and he said, "I will attend to the matter when I am through hauling logs in 1 month. 4 weeks to the day, he was swimming in Lake Lacoma, and with profanity on his lips, he drowned. Opportunity passed. He was 1 month too late. A lady could not sleep. She wrote in her diary, "Next week, I will attend to the salvation of my soul." That lady died the next day. She was 1 week too late. A lady in New York City went to a revival meeting with her parents, and she was under conviction. She said to them, "I will seek God tomorrow night." Yet, on the next night, she decided to go to a dance rather than go back to the revival crusade. She was sitting at her dressing table putting a ribbon in her hair when she fell dead. She was one day too late. Another young lady in New York City was in a revival crusade. She was with her aunt. Her Christian aunt pled with her to give her heart to Jesus Christ, and she refused. On the way from the revival crusade, she was in a tragic accident, and she died. She was 1 hour too late. Opportunity passes. The fact of death is certain. The time of death is uncertain. This was their opportunity. They had a golden opportunity. Jesus said, "If you only knew the things that belong to you in this your day." My friend, you listen to me. This is your day. This is your opportunity. There are souls in hell who would give a million worlds like this one to have the opportunity that some of you have right now. Not only to get saved, but to be soul winners, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. All the souls you'll ever win for all eternity, you win this side of the grave, this side of eternity. Jesus wept. Jesus wept because of their superficial religion. Jesus wept because of their passing opportunity. I'll tell you the third thing that made Jesus weep. Jesus wept because of their smoldering judgment. Look again in verse 43. Jesus, with tears coursing down his cheeks, said, "For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast up a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." Jesus looked 35 short years into the future, and he saw the Holocaust that was going to come. Devastation. Titus and the Roman army came against Jerusalem. They crucified Jews until there were no more trees left in the forest to crucify people with. That beautiful temple that had become a den of thieves was leveled to the ground. Jerusalem was plowed up and sowed with salt. It is estimated by historians that 1 million Jews died in the siege. They tell us that blood ran down the streets of Jerusalem like water runs through the gutters after a heavy rain. And Jesus, who knew the future, sat upon that little colt there on the Mount of Olives, and he looked down upon that city, and his heart was broken. Superficial religion, passing opportunity, smoldering judgment, and Jesus wept. And he said, "Oh, people of Jerusalem, if you only knew." The things that break the heart of Jesus ought to break ours today. And I want us to continue to live a life of joy, but I want us to take time out for tears. We need to weep over lost souls. Not everyone will be saved. It's like sowing. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, not every seed will sprout. You keep sowing the seed. Keep weeping. Keep watching. Keep working. Keep praying. You'll have a harvest. Weep over lost souls. The Apostle Paul said in Acts 20, verse 31, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." The Salvation Army was meeting. They weren't having the success they wanted. They had a great convocation. General William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army, could not be there. He was sick. They said, "General Booth, Send us a wire. Send us a message. Tell us what to do. He sent a wire that had two words in it. Try tears. Try tears. God sees our tears. May God forgive a dry-eyed church in a hell-bent world. One of these days, when the clods fall on the casket, it'll be too late. I had a woman call me. She was convulsing. Pastor Rogers, Pastor Rogers, Pastor, 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 Pastor. I said, get hold of yourself. What is wrong? She said, Pastor, my daddy has died. And my daddy was not a believer. My daddy died. He's a doctor, a medical doctor, and he died, and he's in hell, Pastor. My daddy is in hell. My daddy is in hell. My daddy is in hell. I said, your daddy is not in hell. Oh, yes. He wasn't a believer. I said, no. Last week I went by to see your daddy. I asked your daddy if he were saved. He said, no. I asked him if he wanted to be saved. He said, yes. And I prayed with your daddy. Your daddy repented of his sin, gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And your daddy is not in hell. Your daddy is in heaven. But I want to ask you a question. Did you ever witness to your father? She said, I was going to. I was going to. And I tried to say it as kindly as I could say it, but I said, my lady, had it been up to you, your daddy would have been in hell. We need to take time out for tears. Some of you have members of your family that are lost. Some of you have neighbors that are lost. Some of you have business associates that are lost. And they are superficially religious. They have an opportunity that they're absolutely oblivious to. And judgment for them and for America may be much closer than we realize. But I know this, that we need to be so full of Jesus that the things that break the heart of Jesus will break our heart, and take time out for tears.
Do you know the Jesus Adrian Rogers spoke about? You can know abundant, eternal life through Jesus Christ right now. Say yes to Jesus. Ask Him to save you. Fully trust in Christ today. You might pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and my sin deserves judgment, but You died to pay the penalty for my sin. So I repent of those sins now, Lord. I ask You to forgive me. Come into my life. Make me a new person in You. Thank You for saving me, Jesus, and help me to live for You from now on. Amen. And today, if you give your life to Christ, you'll want to learn how to walk with Him each day. We want to help you with materials that will encourage and strengthen you as a new believer. Just write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. In Canada, you can write us at P.O. Box 152, Maple Ridge, B.C., V2X7G1. And if you have more questions about what it means to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, visit our website, lwf.org. Click on the Discover Jesus link on our homepage for more information. If you'd like additional copies of this message or information about other resources, just visit our online bookstore or call 1-800-274-5683. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.